Our scripture reading this morning is a continuation of what Tim read when he opened the morning service from 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll be reading verses 14 through 20. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, would there be hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would there be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body.
Thank you, John. Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone. So glad to see everyone here today, especially I see some folks who are our guests. We're thankful that you've come our way today and pray that you have an opportunity to truly worship the Lord and to be encouraged. Tim mentioned kind of a special day coming up in a couple of weeks for family and friends. And one of the reasons we've chosen that day is that our MOPS ministry, the ladies, the women from our community who come to the Mothers of Preschoolers ministry, the meetings here on Thursdays, they're all getting a special invitation to join us on that Sunday, on the 20th, 2 weeks from today. We thought it would be a great opportunity for all of us just to take that as a Sunday to invite friends and family and neighbors. So not that you can't do that every Sunday, but that's a special Sunday to do that. And in your bulletin, there's probably one of these, just a little invitation card. There'll be others that you can pick up on your way out today. If you want to take some more, please take more than one. And just to invite people to come and to be a part of our assembly and our worship on that day. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that next week as well. You know, it's really great to see a group of people come together and work together to achieve a goal that they could never accomplish on their own. And I was thinking this week, as we're getting ready for our ministry fair, how that's just true in so many aspects of our lives. For example, people who work in construction. Isn't it amazing how folks with all kinds of different skills, you have crane operators, you have metal workers, you have carpenters, you have a variety of people, architects, all sorts of planners, all coming together on a work site, and you watch what they do together. The amazing things that get built as everyone works together toward that goal. I mean, they even make lunch look like work. This is one of those pictures from the building of the Empire State Building. These guys built the Empire State Building. Here they are on their lunch break, which I just can't even imagine. I don't think that's Photoshop, by the way. I think that's pretty much the way it was. Or how about a surgical team? In that operating room where everyone with different skills and abilities and all the tools and all the equipment they have and everything being used toward one goal and one purpose, a common goal. Or a sports team. Spring training started. I just realized this morning I probably should have put the Angels on this slide. I'm really sorry. But Dennis and I are Dodger Blue, and that's just the way it is. So we'll get the Angels up there in the next week or two, I promise. I like them too. But, you know, when a team comes together, and you know how it is, because sometimes teams don't come together. But when a team comes together and they have that spirit and they work together, it's amazing the kinds of goals that they can achieve. Or political parties. Well, maybe that's not a very good example, people coming together and working, so let's just let that one go. But how about an orchestra where, you know, you have all the different instruments, the amazing music, and then the conductor who brings everybody together and makes it all come together. Or a military unit where you have each other's backs and you go out on a common mission together. Or if you're ever wanting to save Middle Earth, you need the Fellowship of the Ring to make that happen, where everybody comes together. Or how about if you want to save the world? Well, you know, we heard a couple of weeks ago from Andy Baker from World Christian Broadcasting and how the beginning of the new station in Madagascar is going up. Here's a picture that Andy left us with. The antennas going out covering the world with shortwave signal with the gospel of Christ to so many billions of people who listen to shortwave radio. And you think of that ministry. You have the people who build the facilities. You have the people who write the scripts and the materials. You have the people who record them. You have folks like us who send in monthly contributions, and this church has for decades has been supporting this ministry. It's amazing what can happen when people come together to work and achieve something beyond their own abilities. As I think about those kinds of enterprises, some principles begin to pop up in my mind that they all of these, and I think all like them, kind of have in common. One is there's a sense that there's a commander. There's someone who has authority. There's someone who's laying this course out. And everybody is coming together, but it's behind a certain kind of leadership with someone who's laying the vision out in front of people. And everybody involved is willing to submit their ego to leadership, to authority in a project, whether it's the building project or the team or whatever it happens to be. But everybody is willing to give up their own ego for the benefit of the goal that's being pursued. You also have not only a commander, but you have connection between the people who are working together. There's got to be that sense of connection, of belonging together, of supporting each other in this work, of doing the best that you can. It's not everyone for themselves in these kinds of endeavors, but it's rather all for one and one for all. It's really everybody is together and supportive of one another. And so you have a commander and you have the connection, but then you also on a personal level have to have commitment. Because what it comes down to in any of these enterprises is the individual. If the individual will not commit to do their part, to whatever degree individuals fail to do that, the job does not get done or does not get done as well. Well, all of these things are obviously true for another group of people who are bound together with a common purpose, who are wanting to achieve things greater than what they could accomplish on their own. And that's the church. That's us. That's even our particular family right here at Newland Street. We are all believers in Jesus Christ. We are united in that faith, and we have the same desire. We want to bring glory and honor to God by living Christ-like lives, by building up the church, by reaching out to the lost, by serving people in need, by bearing fruit that will last to the glory of God. And when you stop and think about it, all of these principles that we've just touched on are applicable when we begin to think of the church, and especially as we think of the church as the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, and I am a member, a part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ has a commander. It's Jesus. We know, Colossians 1:18, Jesus is the head of the body of the church. End of discussion. There are no rivals. There's no one. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head of his own body. We're the body, but he's the head. He's the authority. He speaks. We listen. He gives us our mission. He tells us who we are and how to live. And he is the Lord that we respond to and that we obey. That's what members of a body do. Members of a body respond to the head of the body. And we submit our own individual desires to the head and listen to what the head says. The members of my body typically, most of the time, do what my head tells the members of my body to do. Right now, I don't know why, but my head is telling my legs to jump. And I don't know why, but my legs have to do it. And to be quite honest, it's a little embarrassing, but it's telling me to jump. And fortunately now it's telling me not to jump. Actually, I think my wife is telling my brain to tell my legs not to jump. Thank you, dear. But that's another sermon. That's a different one. But that's how it works, isn't it? Our head tells the member responds. And as members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility and an accountability to respond to our head, who is Jesus Christ, and to listen to what Jesus says. When Jesus opens up opportunities for me, when Jesus puts something before me that I can do that might reach a soul or might bless the church or might build up the kingdom of God, I have a responsibility when he lays that before me to carry it out, because he's the head and I'm a member of his body. And as we think today about ministry and serving together, think of that particularly about you. As an individual member of the body, you are a member of the body. Consider, what is it that Jesus directs you to do? How have you been equipped? What interest do you have? Or perhaps what interest do you have, and perhaps the church can equip through some training to take on a particular role within the body of Christ? because we all have the same commander. But we also experience connection in the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. We belong to one another. That's one of those images of the body that's so important to me. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. It's a really interesting concept in the Scriptures that we belong to one another. We not only have Christ as our head, but as members of the body, we are responsible to one another, and we belong to one another. That's a very interesting biblical concept, that we are there to serve one another, to encourage one another, to be a part of one another's lives. We're not independent operators in the church or islands unto ourselves, but rather we're connected as members of a body. You're not optional to my life. That's not the way God arranged it, nor am I optional to your life. We're connected through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we care for one another in the body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:25 that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We have this sense of connection. We want to hold each other up. We want to build each other up in the body of Christ. And we not only care for one another, we serve one another within the body. We don't just serve people outside the church. We serve people within the body of Christ as well. This week I've been doing a lot of reflecting on this and just looking back over my life and thinking of people that have been a part of me, that have been a part of my life, who've taught me, who've encouraged me, who've mentored me, who've been examples in my life. And I happened to grow up in a believing home. We were part of a church from before I was born, and so I have memories that go back a long way. I remember my Bible school teachers who first taught me the Word of God. I mean, other than my parents, of course. But I remember Sister Vaden, and of course back then it was Sister Vaden. I would have never said Tommy Vaden, but it was Sister Vaden, and it was Sister Blythus, and Sister Chenault, and my mom was one of my Bible school teachers, and Hank Lawson, that some of you have met, who's visited here from different times. I can name my Bible school teachers because they were part of my life. They taught me. They were important to me. And I think of those people I knew as a teenager growing up in that same congregation. People who encouraged me, some who mentored me to step out in times when the last thing I wanted to do was to step out and do particular things that scared me to death. And I had people in my life, in the church, who were there to encourage me, to help me, and to provide training when I needed that kind of training. As I got older in the church, and you know, as I got into adulthood and began preaching and working in the Lord's body, I look back over the years to all the people who've been those quiet examples in my life. People who are never in the spotlight, but always, always working, always serving. And if you keep your eyes open and you're looking in the right places, you see it. It just happens every day. It happens here. Those people who are such an encouragement to me as a member of the body, because I see their commitment. I see their devotion to the Lord and how they continue to respond to the head, Jesus Christ, and see this sense of connection as well. I just got to thinking about all these people, and I just started naming them in my head, and it went from tens to dozens to scores to where I think I could probably name 150 or 200 people really off the top of my head who have impacted my life in the kingdom because of their example, because of serving me, coming, helping me when I was hurt, being with me when I was in need, when I had gone through loss. And you think back over your lifetime, if you've been in the church very long at all, you just have this sense of being connected. And I would say to anyone who's a believer today, any Christian among us, don't miss out on that blessing. That is just like one of the greatest blessings in the world, the connections we have in Christ. But it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen if we won't spend time together. It happens when we share meals together. It happens when we serve together. It happens when we reach out to one another in times of need, when we are part of one another and sense that and encourage each other and do what we can to increase that sense of connectedness, to work side by side in the kingdom. And then you stand back and you wonder in awe at how God accomplishes such great things through our very feeble efforts. And yet he does, because of the connection that we have in Christ. Our commander, Christ, the head of his body, the church, calls for you and I to be connected, to care for one another, to serve one another, and together to serve the world. And to do so, we have to have that commitment. It comes down to that, doesn't it? Commitment. Each of us is unique in the body of Christ, and each of us is essential in the body of Christ. I don't ask you to believe that based on your sense of self-esteem, but to believe it as a matter of faith in the Word of God, who claims that to be the truth. You are essential. You are unique. John read a passage of Scripture out of 1 Corinthians 12 a few moments ago about how the body doesn't consist of one member, but many. And if the foot should say, oh, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body, well, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And he goes on through several illustrations to basically say, look, if we were all an eye, how could the body hear? It's so important for there to be diversity within the body of Christ. And he points out in verse 18, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. And we've been placed in the body as God has chosen. Paul earlier in 1 Corinthians 12 says that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, to give out gifts according to his will, not ours, and to place us in the body where God wants us to be, to serve. That's what God does. And it's so evident among us. If you get to know folks here in this congregation, you'll recognize a variety of abilities and interests and gifts. We have people who teach, some very good teachers in our congregation of different ages. We have people who are encouragers. We have folks who have amazing administration capabilities and organizational abilities. We have others who have technical abilities and in that area. Folks who have the gift of hospitality. Others who can make people feel welcome the first time that they come among us. We have builders and cleaners and evangelists. And we have creative artists and singers and letter writers and web designers and leaders and givers and people of mercy. We have all sorts of abilities, and each one of us has a responsibility to carry out the work that we have and to play the part that we are meant to play. We can't be faithful to the head of the body if we are neglecting the gift that he has entrusted to us to bless his body and to be used in his body to reach out to others. We have to respond to what Christ has done. And you're not responsible to be something that you're not. You're not responsible to be a part of the body that you are not, that you're just not, that God didn't make you that way. But we are responsible to do what God has created us to do. But here's the rub when it comes to the body of Christ. The head sends the signals down, but he also allows us to determine for ourselves whether or not we will respond. That's the difference between me telling my legs to jump and Jesus telling me to go and to serve in his name. Jesus gives me the option. Right now, my brain, my head is telling me to walk in this direction. It's telling me to walk over right here and to extend my arm. And so now my arm's extended, and now my hand is reaching down to grab Rod's hand, and my brain is telling my mouth to say, Rod, brother, I love you, and I thank God for the impact you've made in my life over 20 years. I thank God for you. Thank you. But what if my legs said, I'm not walking over there. I'm not going over there. But what if my legs started walking over there and the arm said, you know what, you can walk over there, but this arm's not coming up. And the arm and the, or the hand said, well, you know what, there's no way I'm gripping his hand. And the tongue says, well, you can get over there all day with your arm out and stare at him, but I'm not going to say a word. That's the reality in the body of Christ. He puts us all together. He assembles us as a body here in a local sense, each of us with abilities and gifts and opportunities. And He puts us all together, and He is the head, is directing us to go forth and to work together. But we can say, I'm not moving, or I'm not lifting this arm up, or I'm not going to speak those words. We can frustrate the one who is telling us what to do and keep the body from functioning properly. That's so very real. It's so true. It happens all the time. I'm not just talking about here. It happens all the time in the church. It just happens when someone will say, it doesn't matter. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. You'll have to get someone else. And what happens is sometimes you get, well, somebody over here who really isn't, they're not really the right arm, but you know, they'll do their best to kind of get that up there because, you know, we need somebody to fill that job. And so the body begins to respond and to try, but it's so important for each of us to recognize the responsibilities and the gifts that we have, because the body will not be complete unless each one of us carries out the role that we have within the body of Christ. If I withhold my gift, the body of Christ will not be complete. That's just the plain truth. You may want to run away from it. You may want to rationalize it and say, well, it doesn't really apply to me. But I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. It's not about what you think or how I feel about myself, how important or unimportant I am. It's simply the spiritual truth. It's the way the body of Christ works. That's why every member of the body is so important and essential. And yet, on the other hand, what is amazing, how my service can build up the body of Christ. When we work together, what God can do, it's absolutely amazing to see what God does in the church. It's absolutely amazing. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, from Him, verse 16, from Him, that's Jesus, the head, from Him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There it is. As each part does its work. The body is built up in love. The body, he'll say in this chapter, it's built up in our faith, in our unity, in our maturity, as each member is functioning properly. This is the way the body of Christ is meant to be, to bring glory and honor to God. And it comes down. It comes down finally from the commander to the connection to your and my personal commitment to function properly as I've been created to in the body of Christ. And when we do that, when we give over our will and our ego and we submit our gifts and our energies and our time, which is so difficult sometimes to do, it's just amazing to see the work of God within His church, to serve people who are in need, to build up the body of Christ, to reach out to precious souls who don't know the Lord Jesus. Consider today how you can be put to work in the kingdom of God. I know we all have ministries that we do here and there individually, outside, but there are also things that we're called to do together. And today, as we consider the works of this congregation, some of which you have an opportunity to volunteer for, be asking yourself one thing. If you're presently not active in something, ask yourself this: what one thing can I do? What one thing can I do? Can I add one thing to my life this week, right now, in making this decision to serve the Lord? Right?
One thing I'm not going to do is jump up and down. All right? You would not like to see the results of that, right? Thank you, Richard, for that lesson, and we will continue with that. What we're going to do this morning is a little something new, and that is we're going to break in a few minutes, and we're going to take 15 minutes for the sign-ups and the conversations to be held at the tables, and then we're going to reconvene, and Richard is going to finish his lesson, okay? And then we'll be dismissed. So you can't go out the back doors right now, okay? We want you to be a part of this, as Richard has just told us about. You know, we have in the world a thing called the 80% rule, which simply means that in any organization, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We want to improve on that number. We don't want the 80% rule. In fact, we don't even want the 70% rule or the 60% rule or the 50% rule. We would like the 100% rule. Now, reality says we probably won't get that, but let's try, okay? Let's try. Because what we're reaching for is this thing called synergism, all right? Synergism is where the total, okay, is greater than the sum of the parts. We can expand the Lord's work here. And that's what we want to do. When people get into the right positions and do the right jobs, all right? That's what we want here. We're reminded in the scriptures, in Philippians 4:9, it says, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do. Emphasis on that small word, but powerful word, do, okay? And the God of peace shall be with you. James says it this way in James, the first chapter. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, where he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, here we go, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The emphasis is on do. Be a doer. We've set up tables in the back. The men and women who are going to man those tables, if you will now go to those tables and be ready to greet people, we will do that. We have one special table over on the right for any of you who are visiting here with us in this at the congregation today. We have literature on that table and we have a gift for you. So please stop by that table. So we're going to take 15 minutes now, but before I do that, there's going to be some of us here in the audience that because of health reasons or because of age reasons cannot be involved in some of these works at the back on the tables. But you can be involved in one important thing for all of us, and that is prayer. Prayer is so important and prayer is powerful. So if those who are able to, if you are in that category, please come down to the front while the other people are looking at and signing up at the tables. And if you have to remain in the pew, we will come to you and greet you and talk about what prayer can do for our work here at Newland. So let's take 15 minutes. Let's all stand, please. We're going to take 15 minutes and we're going to call you back and then we'll continue with the service. Now, head for the tables, and if you need a handout like I have here, okay, that'll tell you about the works, we handed those out last week. There's extra copies back here, so be our guest. Thank you. I want to get them all seated. Okay, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate the participation. And I know the Lord is going to be blessed by this, okay? Chris will now lead us in a song.
Thanks be to God that we are the body of Christ. You know, it's an amazing thing to say, I am a member of the body of Christ, that I belong to Jesus Christ and his body here on this earth. And we're blessed in our congregation with so many folks who have just stepped into roles of leadership and developing ministries, and then amazing people who come in as teams to work together to carry out the ministries of the church, and others, as we've mentioned before, who oftentimes ministry is done very quietly and behind the scenes. But those who are serving in this body, may you go forward today knowing the blessing of God, knowing the fulfillment that comes from giving your life to something greater than yourself. May God fill you with joy, with thanksgiving for the awesome privilege that it is to serve God and to be a part of what He's doing on this earth. If for some reason you haven't been participating as you'd like in the body of Christ here, may listen today to the head of our body, Jesus. Listen to His word. Consider your relationship with Him, and just hope and pray that you'll find a place to be plugged in and to work, not just to carry out a job, but to be a part of a living organism, the body of Christ, to find your place in that body to serve alongside with brothers and sisters. There truly is, I think, hardly any greater thing I can think of than the joy that comes from working together and seeing God do things, seeing people come to Christ, seeing the church built up, people's needs being met because God's people have come together to serve. We really do need each and every one who makes up this body. And it's just a blessing to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. So let's pull together. Let's listen to our head, our commander, Jesus Christ. Let's live in this relationship of connection, to serve one another, to care for one another, to serve with each other, that we can reach out to the lost around us, that we can build up the body of Christ, that we can bless each other in our own times of need, and that above all, that in all of this, our God and Father is being glorified as we, the body of Christ, are faithful to Him on this earth. If you're not a part of that fellowship yet, we read at the very beginning of our service today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, when Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, who's already in this wonderful body of Christ, he says, "For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. There's whether you were Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink." We've come into the same body. And those who have not yet come to faith in Christ, we point you to Him. If you believe He's the Son of God, if you're willing to make Him your Lord, to submit to His, to Him being your commander and Lord, to following His word, to being obedient to His teaching, then come to Him. Turn from any sin in your life and be baptized into Jesus. Be added to the body, the church, be forgiven of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that common Spirit that unites us all. And isn't that the case? And it's the Spirit of Christ in this group of people that truly unites us as the body of Christ. If there are any who need to come to Him today, we invite you to come to the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing.